Well, we have been working on a short series here for Resurrection Month, Sunday time. Last Sunday, we looked at the miracle ministry of Jesus. Before that, we looked at the baptism of Jesus. And this morning, we're looking at Palm Sunday. And specifically, we're looking at how the Jews worship Jesus as the Messiah. And, you know, it would be nice if we had, in one Sunday, we could just cover the ministry of Christ. But even John couldn't cover it all in one book, so I don't think we should expect to cover it in one Sunday. But this morning we want to look about this time where the Jews worship Jesus as their Messiah. And when we think about the Messiah, Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah, but the Messiah was somebody that was foretold for a long time, right? There was a lot of prophecies about the Messiah, that he was coming and what it would be like. And so the fact that Jesus fulfilled prophecy is one of the testaments that he is the Messiah. And another prophecy that we see fulfilled in the life of Jesus is on Palm Sunday. So we're going to start off reading in Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 through 7. It says, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mountain of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied to a colt. Find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me.'" And it says, "Loose them and bring them to me. If anyone sends anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.' And immediately he will send them. All of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey.' And so the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded, and they brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on him and set him on them." So we see here that Jesus fulfilled prophecy. We see two different prophecies. One was in Isaiah chapter 62:11. It says, "Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, 'Say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him.'" But more specifically, the prophecy that Jesus fulfilled was in Zechariah 9:9. So Jesus fulfilled prophecy of Isaiah and Zechariah. That is, verse 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So we see that Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of both Isaiah and Zechariah. And then Jesus also prophesied himself, and it was fulfilled about this donkey and where they would find it. Mark's gospel records that scenario this way. It says, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it.' And immediately he will send it here." And so they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, What are you doing, loosing the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, and so they let them go. Now, I just want to just marvel at this little part of the story, because here is Jesus. He hasn't yet went into Jerusalem, right? He hasn't yet went into this part. But he's telling the disciples, "Go into the village opposite. You're going to find this donkey." And then he just throws in this detail that Mark includes for us that no one has ever sat on. Now, how did Jesus know that? Right? Now, maybe you could see, okay, if he got his looking glass out, maybe he could see there's a donkey over there. Right? But how does he know that it's a donkey that nobody's ever sat on? And I just want us to think about that for a second, because the reality is that God knows everything. He knows everything about me. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about the donkeys, right? It reminds me of a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 10. But it reminds me that Jesus knows us intimately, and he desires to intercede on our behalf. Jesus did not come down here necessarily to be worshipped as king on this Sunday. He came down to die on the cross so that we could have a relationship with him, so that he could intercede with us. Matthew 10, 28 through 33 says, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, and you are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." You know, the reality is, just like Jesus knew everything about the donkey that was in the village across the way, he knows everything about us. He knows our hearts, and his desire is to intercede with the Father on our behalf. Hebrews chapter 7, 23 through 25 says, "Also there were many priests, because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood, and therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." Jesus died on the cross. He rose again 3 days later, but now he is in heaven interceding for us with the Father. And that's what he loves to do. That's what he came to do. He came to make it possible so that he could intercede for us. So just in this little detail about the donkey, about nobody had ever sat on it, I hope it reminds you that Jesus knows everything about your life. He knows about the struggles that you're going through. He hasn't forgotten. He knows. And his desire is for us to come to him, to seek him with all of our hearts, and for him to intercede for us. Next, we see that Jesus is worshipped. Matthew 21, 6 through 11, it says, "So the donkeys went and did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt, and then they laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down branches from the trees and spread them out on the road. And the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna is the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' And so the multitude said, 'This is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" Jesus was the promised one. This was not the only time that Jesus was worshipped as the Messiah. There were many other times throughout Jesus' ministry. We see one in John chapter 6. It says, Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, which was the feeding of the 5,000, they said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." And therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. And then the night of his death on the cross, we see the centurion Matthew chapter 7, verse 54, he said, "This is the promised one." So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." So we see that Jesus, throughout Jesus' ministry, Jesus was looked at as the promised one at various times. But here on Palm Sunday, we see that throughout the whole town of Jerusalem, people were saying that this is the prophet. This is the one that was promised. Now, last week we looked at one of the miracles that we looked at was the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And the day after Jesus fed all those people, 5,000 men and women and children, it says, when they found him, Jesus taught them that he was the bread of life, and that they would have to eat his flesh and drink his blood in order to inherit eternal life. And we've read that various passage various times during communion, and we make that connection now, right? Because that's part of our faith tradition. We've been given communion. But this was before communion, and Jesus was saying, "Hey, you're going to have to drink my blood, and you're going to have to eat my flesh." And they're kind of like, "What in the world are you talking about?" And so we see in John 6, starting in verse 60, it says, "Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?' And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, 'Does this offend you? And what then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life, but there are some of you who do not believe.' For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, 'Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father.' And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered them, 'Did I not choose you, the 12? And one of you is a devil.' And he spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. You know, the reality is, this morning, each one of us has to make that decision. Who is Jesus to us? Some said he is the Christ. Some said we're not sure, right? We looked at that in the miracle of the blind man, right? A lot of the Pharisees and Sadducees said, "This guy, we don't know where he came from." But we have to make that decision our own. Some of us, we want to say, "Yes, we believe." But the question is it a true belief? Is our heart really with the Lord? We see in Israel's case, there were people who worshipped him for a time. There were people who wanted to make him king for a moment. And then that moment passed. In Luke 19:37-44, says, "Then as he was drawing near the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But he answered and said to them, 'I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out.' And as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, 'If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Jesus prophesies the coming rejection of Israel and the coming fall of Israel. What led to that rejection? In John chapter 12, 16 through 19, John says that they loved men's approval more than God's approval. Verse 12, 16 through 19 says, "His disciples did not understand these things at first," what happened on Palm Sunday. "But when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. And therefore, the people who were with him, when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead, they bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they had heard that he had done this sign. And the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, 'You see that you are accomplishing? Nothing. You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him.'" The Pharisees were trying to get power back from Jesus. Jesus was continuing to gain in power and might and reputation. The Pharisees were trying to destroy him. We see in verse 23, continues, "But Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him, my Father, will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your spirit." I'm sorry, hold on a second. Glorify your name. "And then a voice came from heaven saying, 'I have both glorified it and will glorify it again.' And therefore the people who stood by heard it and said that it had thundered. And others said, 'An angel has spoken to him.' And Jesus answered and said, 'This voice did not come because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself.' And this he said, signifying by what death he would die. And the people answered him, 'We have heard from the law that Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?' And Jesus said to them, 'A little while longer and the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe the light, that you may become sons of the light.' These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, 'Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?' Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, 'He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them.' These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even when the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." You know, the reality is we each have to make a choice. Who do we want to follow? Who do we want to honor with our life? we see that Israel worshipped Jesus as the Messiah for a very short time. They wanted to make him king. They wanted him to come and rule. But the reality is, that moment came and that moment left. Sometimes for us, Sunday mornings, man, I really want to follow God. I really want to make this part of my life. And we walk out of the building, and with that, the desire to serve God until next Sunday comes around. For some of us, it might be said that we believed, but we love the praise of men more than the praise of God. I hope that's not true. I pray that's not true. But when we look out at our world today, we see so many people not willing to stand by their convictions, not willing to stand by their faith, not wanting to go through persecution. I remember a passage where Jesus, talking about when he returns, he said, "When I return, will I even find faith on the earth? Will I even find anybody who believes and trusts?" Let's close in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we think about this time of Palm Sunday, in Israel, in Jerusalem, what a wonderful day of splendor. But Lord, we know that you found really not much joy in it at all. Because you know it was just for a moment. It was not people worshiping you from their hearts. It was not people making a committed decision to follow you, to serve you as Lord and Savior. But it was just what the group wanted to do. It was just following the masses. And the Spirit was gone the next day. And by the end of the week, they nailed you to the cross. Lord, the reality is, if we look within ourselves, we have that same problem. We want to worship you. We desire to please you. But we are mixed with so many other desires. Our fleshly desires, our lust, our sinful desires, desires for pleasure. And Lord, a lot of times we set you aside when we ought to make you first and foremost. So Lord, I pray that on this Palm Sunday that our hearts would be challenged not to repeat the testimony, the example of the Israelites who for a short time honored you. But Lord, that we would follow the testimony and example of the apostles who, yes, they did desert you for a moment, but they gave their lives in service to you. They paid the ultimate price, death and persecution. Lord, and many disciples throughout the years were willing, gladly, to die for their faith. Because they loved your praise. They desired to seek your will in their life more than anything else. We think of the suffering of Job. Lord, we remember those words of faith that, Lord, that no matter what, even though he was tried by fire, that he would come out as pure gold. And that he would be faithful to honor you, to serve you. Lord, I pray that that would be our testimony. Lord, even though we go through our own trials and struggles, as you promised us, in this world we will have tribulation. But Lord, we can be of good cheer because through faith we can overcome the world. Through faith in you, we can accomplish all things. And we can be found faithful to the end of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.